where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is The Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Ah, the sweet sounds of summer and The Unpodcast. What two things go together better?
That was good. Good job. Wow. There's someone outside mowing their lawn.
My mouth has taken the summer off. That's what's going on. Yeah, there's lawn mowing outside.
Dog snoring. The sounds of summer.
Woo! We hope you're happy to be here, because we are. So thank you. This show, The Unpodcast, which is Allison and myself, Wayno behind the board.
It's not going to stick.
Folks, tell us if it's sticking, because it's sticking for me. It's not sticking for Wayne or Allison, but let's see how it goes. I'm being outvoted, folks. The show brought to you by Imaging USA. They had no idea I'd say that. They didn't approve sponsoring the show, but they did approve of a book of me as their keynote next January. It is a meeting of 3-day conference of 3,000 professional and aspiring photographers.
Cool.
That's right. Professional photographers of America have chosen me. Right? What is going on
with
this
world? Good taste in speakers.
You know why? It's because I'm so photogenic.
You are crazy photogenic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous of how photogenic you are.
I do have photographers from events coming up to me afterwards saying thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not because of my glow or my
It's your skin,
charm.
I think.
It's,
I don't know what it is.
It's that I'm so animated on stage, right? So I flail, and they love taking photos of that.
But still photos, too.
So we're going to make this episode relatable to that whole audience, those 3,000. But don't worry, you seven, our fine seven listeners. I promise we'll make it relatable to you as well, because it happens to do with two big issues that are to photographers, but also to most people, especially entrepreneurs.
All right, I'm ready. What are the issues?
Payment.
Very, very important to entrepreneurs, payment.
And horrible friends and family.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Understood.
So let's rock and roll.
Okay.
I want to talk about payment first. And the reason this has been spawned from my underbelly of we were at a gas station, as one would be at once in a while. And I decided, for the first time in a long time, I'm going to vacuum our car. We usually have people do that. We have people who do that. We have people that do a lot of things.
Actually, the car is the only thing I let be messy. So,
but this time it gotten too much, because we had moved. We'd cleaned out the garage. I took stuff to the dump. There was just like pine needles everywhere and dog fur and everything. I found a kid. One of our kids under the back seat. Owen, how long have you been there? It's like Tuesday. You said wait in the car. So anyway, but what happens is he clogged the vacuum, and then I found him. So anyway, so it made that really really high, like everyone in trouble sound. So I found him though. He's good. He's good. And so anyway, so I'm at the gas station, and I'm like, oh, wait a second. I don't have coins for the vacuums that are at the gas stations off in the corner or the side by the side of the air pump, which is no longer free either. It takes coinage to get air because it's condensed. So I'm like, I don't have coins. Like, I barely, like, our country, Canada, no longer has pennies. Like, that's how little we value coins. Yet we have a dollar coin and a $2 coin, the loonie and the toonie. So I'm like, well, I guess I can go in and buy something. But if it's a gas station, if they're selling something that only takes coins, they'll give me change. Anyway, so I'm like, well, I'm already battling this in my head. I got to talk to more people. I got to go to two spots now. This is not a quick suck and go at the gas station, right? I got to do this. So anyway, it's okay. I'll take some time into this. So
you can't pay with coins for that either.
Right, exactly. So I'm like, well, and I pull up to the pump, and I notice the place where the coin goes is there, but also the payment options: Visa, tap, Interact debit, credit. So it's like there are different terms depending on what country you're in. But I could pay by bank card, credit card, coin, Apple Pay.
Awesome.
So at this vacuum, I then go boop, boop on my phone and pay via Apple Pay. Vacuum turns on.
He's so happy. He can barely contain himself.
I could not contain myself of how happy this made me. And people are like, okay, so where's the actual point of this story, Scott? That's the point, is that a vacuum at a gas station took my money easier than the majority of business owners.
The best thing that I've seen lately that does the same thing is the ability to use the app. Where we are, it's Honk Mobile, to be able to use the app to pay for parking. It like makes me so happy.
So happy.
It makes me happy in a way that like it shouldn't make me happy. And yet every single time I park in that parking lot by the gym, that's where I use it.
Or on the street.
Yeah, or on the street. I just flick it down. I pay. It just, I have a big smile on my face. It saved the walking to the thing and having to enter in. I never remember the license plate number and all this stuff. It just makes me happy.
Approving, waiting, doing, put the ticket on your dashboard.
And I have the receipt for parking. So if we need that, I always have it.
Right there. And it's on, it does the GPS, so it knows where I'm parking.
Are
you parking here? Yes. Click here. Done, done, done.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Photogs.
And everyone else.
Entrepreneurs, business owners, make the path of least resistance lead to your wallet connected to my wallet. Make it easy for me to pay, which brings us to everybody, including photographers. I want you taking payments that your clients want to pay in. If I want to pay by Visa, let me pay. If I want to pay by cash, let me pay. I want to avoid the taxes by paying in cash. That's up to you. I want to pay by check? You let me pay by check. PayPal. Bitcoin? Oh, well. You figure that out. But you see what I'm saying? Is allows me to, money is money. Your job as an entrepreneur, especially as an entrepreneur, is cash flow. We can. It's almost universal across all industries. Cash on hand is worth more than two birds in a stone. Whatever that phrase is, you know what I mean?
I don't think that's a phrase at all.
Bird in hand is better than two in the bush. You know whatever that is. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Right. Cash on hand is better than accounts receivable. Yes?
Absolutely.
We agree to this? Cash is king in every business. Having it in my account. And you can't even make the excuse now that credit cards take too long to put it in your account. You get Square or Stripe, it's like 24 hours.
Yeah, and we understand, like, having run a business, the process of getting set up with credit cards, getting set up with everything. We know it's a bit of a schlep. We understand that. Although it has gotten easier.
So much easier now. It has gotten easier. Remember?
And we know, I do remember.
Remember merchant accounts?
Moneris. I had a Moneris merchant account. It took forever to get set up. I had to fax over bank documents, and it was like a whole thing. But you know, I still did it. And we understand some payment forms have fees attached and you have to pay them. But paying the percentage that that fee is, but getting the business and getting the customer and making it easy for them, you just took a step out. They're going to come back more often. And you got their money.
Add 3.5% or 4% to your price.
Yeah.
And give me a cash discount if I do buy a bank transfer or something like that. Or give me a fee on top of... if I had to pay my credit card. There was just a discussion in our speaker group about this. Do you take credit cards to get paid to speak? And some people were like, yeah, I add 3.5%. One person says, so rare, I just eat the percentage. But whatever that is, I get it. Look, when your margins are thin, 3.5% could be your margin. Now, for service providers, usually is not that margin. But I don't know. One is sometimes it's breaking the terms of service with a credit card if you add a fee to pay. So instead, you just give a discount for non-credit card payments. Well, whatever that is, understand. Here's where it spawns from. And photographers, you are under this umbrella, but everybody is. A couple of things. One, when you and I were in one of our favorite cities in New Orleans, and we went out, we're going to go for a nice dinner in the French Quarter, and we went to get a cab, and we didn't have cash on us because it was 2014. We didn't have cash on us. And we went out to get a cab at the hotel, and they went to call a cab, and there's a line, 6 cabs. We need to use Visa. Does any of them take Visa? Nope, 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 nope. None of them would take credit card because of the fee or the cut, or they don't want to keep it off the books, whatever it is. Just then at the back, and we've told this story a long time ago, but at the back, there is a woman bike rickshaw who's like, I take Visa, and bikes up to the front. And we hop in the back of this. And she's like, yeah, I got the Square on my phone. And she bikes us to the restaurant. And by the way, she was from Hamilton.
Yeah, she was amazing too.
Which is the town beside us here. And she's like, this is where you should go. This is where you should eat. We paid 4 times more for a bike rickshaw than a cab.
She got a good tip too.
And a big tip. And she just pulls out her phone with the dongle for Square, swipes, happy, in my email, paid and done. And the taxi companies are like, no. I get just a bunch of... attitude from cabs in Vegas if we try to pay by credit card. Oh, you know there's a fee, right? Like, you want my money or don't you? We wonder why Uber works now and Lyft works and all these things. I'm like, don't make it inconvenient for me to pay you and don't get mad at me for wanting to pay that one I want to pay. So, fast forward to our home here.
Yes.
So.
Are we taking rent from the children using
Square? We take Square, Stripe, and Bitcoin from the kids.
Bitcoin.
So we have service providers at our house.
Yes, we do.
We have gardeners and lawn people. We have a poop person.
Best money we've ever spent.
Who picks up dog poop so far.
Once a week.
I haven't asked for human poop yet. So dog poop, we've had the pooper intendant hasn't been here. She comes once a week, cleans up the dog poop. Now here's two different businesses, both dealing with our yards. Both, by the way, have to be scheduled properly. You can't have the poop person coming after the garden people.
No, the poop has to come right before the garden.
The big scheduling issue. And we have a cleaning company that comes and cleans the house.
Yes.
So, very different payment theories.
All three of them.
Our goal here, especially since you know we have five kids, and then me, and then animals, and you figure out the ranking of that. That all I want to do is have you have our information, payment information, and you process the payment every month, every week. I couldn't care less how frequently you do it, as long as you do it and leave me out of it.
All right, so let's go through the three of them. So poop person.
Poop person takes credit cards, would automatically charge us every month, and after the first year of her doing this, she said, hey, we offer a special to all of our clients. If you want to prepay for the year, you get a month free.
Fantastic. Easy. Did it. Done.
Within 2 minutes, I reply back to her. Done.
Yeah.
She pays it for the year. She gets a full guaranteed revenue for that year. I don't got to think about the poop being picked up or paid for.
Fantastic. Second.
Gardeners. So we get an invoice from them every week or a couple weeks, depending on what they're doing in the garden and what's happening. They also, the same company does the lawns as well. I get an invoice and then I can pay using Interact online, which is our online banking, is a transfer, pretty basic. We pay it. Sometimes I'll forget to pay it because I'm me.
Well, you're traveling.
And then I'll get a reminder for it. And I said, hey, can you just take our credit card? Because probably with Interact, with a bank transfer, they can't initiate that. No. Obviously, but they can initiate a credit card charge. And the line I hear, this is the line I hate, I'm sorry, we don't take credit cards. Like it was out of their control that they couldn't take credit cards. I would pay every month on time, no invoicing, to send me the receipt.
Pay the whole year.
Pay the whole, whatever it is. I don't care. Yeah. A monthly retainer fee just to keep me out of it. And then cleaners.
So the cleaners charge, they send me an invoice, which I had to ask for. Usually the day of, sometimes the day after they've been here. And in the school year, they come every other week. And in the summer, they come every week because we have more kids and the kids aren't in school. So there's just more bodies in the house all the time.
Yeah.
And like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fully grown men live here. And I am not a maid. So people come to clean up after them. So what happens is that they come and clean once a week in the summer, and then that day or the next day, I get an invoice, and then I pay by e-transfer, because that's how they want to be paid. I think they also take checks, to be fair, but I don't see why I would pay by check.
It's a bank transfer, yeah.
And so then I have to log into the bank and send the amount of money and pay. And so I've asked a few times, like, at least by the month, like, group some of these, because sometimes I'll forget. I often forget, because it's not the top of my mind. And I feel bad. They're small business owners. I don't want to be a person who doesn't pay. And sometimes it gets to 3 or 4 days later and they'll be like, hey, you didn't. And then I'm adding work to them. I feel badly. And so I have asked a couple times, like, just to take the credit card, I'll pay for the whole summer at the start of the summer. I'm not asking for you to do a summer's worth of work and then invoice me. I understand why you don't want to do that, but I'll pay ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I'll pay for 10. Be like the gym. I'll pay for 10 cleaning sessions and then, you know, pay it for at the beginning, but they won't do that. And so I find it like it's a real schlep. And then it was really funny because Scott was almost never looks at the banking information. And he came downstairs saying he was looking at the banking information and there was a weird charge that came out. It didn't come out regularly. It's sort of like sometimes it was like the same day every week, but sometimes it was like 2 days in a row it would come. It was always the same amount of money and he couldn't figure out, like, I don't know if I would choose that amount to siphon money off the top. And I'm like, no, that's
150 a week.
That's the cleaners. I'm paying the cleaners. So I don't understand why, and I haven't really asked why they want to do it that way. I know they don't want to be paid before they do the work. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's because they're fairly new entrepreneurs and if they may have some anxiety about taking my money and then, like, maybe having to, which seems backward as an entrepreneur myself. I want the money before.
Of course.
But I think there's some anxiety that they'll be like balance is owing or something. But yeah, not an easy payment. And I feel like I'm a bad customer right. because I'm set up in this thing where I have to remember to log into the bank and send the transfer. And even though it isn't a huge deal, like they're not asking me to do something right. like clean our bathroom, that they're asking me to do this, all these steps, that then I feel like I'm a bad customer because I haven't yeah. paid them right away.
Right. And if you can't auto process a payment on your end, I get it. There's a security issue. You don't want to keep the numbers anywhere on your computer or whatever. I understand that. James, who does our post show notes, who's listening right now, what's up, man? Sends an invoice through is it QuickBooks or FreshBooks, and it comes through. But the way he processes it now in the past 6 months is the site on the phone. I click it to the invoice, click pay, and it gives me Apple Pay as an option.
That's cool.
Boop, boop, done. Wayne takes interact transfer. Is that correct? Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is getting weird. I forgot how I pay Wayne, but he's good. So
I would just think of it like the same way that we talk about ways that you communicate with your customers. So different platforms or like, you know, if your customer, if you make texting an option and then you call them back every mm-hmm. time they text you, like you got to think about the way, what are the ways your customers want to pay? And are those ways feasible for you? And if they are, then there are probably other people who aren't your customers because you don't have those payment mm-hmm. methods. So it's a really good example of like a stop, start, continue sort of a thing mm-hmm. is to ask the customers you currently have, like, how do you feel about the way that you pay us?
And how can
do you
want to
change
better?
It? Yeah. How can I make it easier?
Right.
And if the answer is feasible, make it happen. Because if somebody complains about it, there's a good chance you've lost customers yeah. because of it. And now I wouldn't necessarily, you know, we talk about this in terms of the pulse, right? Of the company, like an unselling. I'm not going to change cleaners because of the way that I pay them. Like they do a good job. That's mm-hmm. what's important. But, you know, it's one of those things that if other things start adding up and then another company comes along who makes it really easy, that'll certainly be a bonus to another company. And right. so I feel like you should make it as easy as possible for people to give you money.
Especially just like the poop company, right? Not yeah. only did they take a card, no problem, and process it, they're like, and they sold it to me too. It's like, you don't have to pay every month. You do this and you get a little month out. I'm like, yeah, yeah,
because
you got
the year
me.
Before, they had to remind us a couple times. I think we got like lost a credit card and we had to yeah. get a new one.
Yeah.
And so we were a little behind. So it makes sense to take that information.
And going back to things like a service-based business, like photographers, right? It's not only that, but the ability to get deposits.
Yeah.
Right. To understand that you're, especially when you work as a service, and then obviously photographers, you have the photographs, but you're paid for your time and your service as well. That the deposits are very important. We don't give a date to anybody for a speaking gig until a deposit is sent
yeah.
to us. And then the other half is due a week before. And that's unique in our industry. A lot of times you're not going to get a photographer who gets paid outright up front before they get the photos
no,
delivered and everything.
Not.
But you still want to keep the value before sending the file, like for Wayne, and if you record a band and then you record a whole album, and do you send them the final master, you know, files before payment?
Nope.
No, exactly. And that's where you get into trouble, because once you you release the value, the leverage is gone.
Yeah.
And therefore they pay much quicker. It's like putting a website live before the person's paid for the design of it. And therefore it's no longer urgent payment. It might be urgent to you, but not to the client. And a lot of times, especially when you're growing a business or just starting a business, money's very tight and you pay the squeakiest wheels.
And you likely have to pay other people too, right?
Right?
You have to pay your employees. That's what I always think when I think about the cleaning people
Dallas,
too, and why I feel so badly when I'm late in paying is I know that they have to pay the people who are working for them. And mm-hmm. so I don't want to be the person who's late. So I just want it to be easier.
Yeah, that's what I always want to pay as quick as possible.
Yeah.
And I think because you treat your vendors the way you want to be treated by other ones as yeah. well. And that leads us to the next part of this, which again, deals greatly with our photography friends out there, is the friends and family. Now, friends and family, and what spurned this part of it was I was on Reddit last night, and there was a woman who created a custom cookie company at home, making iced sugar cookies, and a daughter of a in-law, step-in-law, or something like that, asked for cookies, and, you know, they're really high demands, wanted really high discounts, and all this type of stuff, and just because they were friends and family, they could treat you bad and poorly. Friends and family help get the word out. Friends and family help you build your business out of referrals. You are not honoring somebody's business if you're not willing to pay them for that business or treat them well for that business. You should be treated better by these people, not worse. And photographers, especially when you're starting out, you know, your goal, just like me in speaking starting out, you just want to do the gig. You want to do the job and you do a good job because you love taking photos. I don't think anybody got into photography for the money. right? Or anybody got into most things just like quiz because I'm going to be rich. It was the passion for the art.
I think it's like a uniquely scale. I think it's a scale problem. Right. I think at the beginning, you're happy to have the business. You just want the word out. You may even, in terms of photography, you want pictures put on your website. You want an opportunity to be able to show the work that you can do. And then when your business starts growing and you start thinking about scale and especially in photography or that kind of business where until you're have other photographers, let's say, that work for you, you're you and you're not scalable. It's like you with speaking. You can only be in one stage at one time. And that means that you need to value the time that you have more than anything else, because that's the only thing you can't duplicate. You can do a lot of things, but you can't be in two places at once. And so as the scale happens, as you start to feel like, okay, like I've got the portfolio built, now I'm having like paying customers that want me to come and shoot their events. Obviously, you want to do that because everyone needs to pay their rent and buy food. And so you want those events. Then the people that you were doing it for free for at the beginning, then it starts to feel like you're being either taken advantage of, or you get resentful of them, and you go and you don't do a very good job, which I think is probably the worst way to handle it.
100%.
Is to go and do a bad job and be grumpy about it.
Yeah.
And it's so I see it as a scale thing. And I think that it's something that happens to all entrepreneurs in pretty much every business I can think of. Once you get to that point where you've gone from the just happy to do it for exposure, just happy to do it for experience, to somebody actually wants to trade currency for what I'm doing or the product I'm selling or making. And I think that it's just one of those things. It's like, that's the point. When you start to feel that way, I think that's the point when you need to look at your processes and like, how are you? Okay, so now this is a business. How am I going to handle people coming in? And like for speaking, you'll reserve a date. So let's say I call you from the Photography Association and I say, okay, I really want Scott to come speak on July 10th. What we'll say is, well, we can hold the date for you. And then you have only a certain amount of time to send in that deposit to have it permanently held. And if someone else comes in, you get we'll call you and say like, hey, photography people, because Scott can only be on one stage at one time. And I think that's fair and reasonable.
Right.
But I think that that's that point. And it's a good point. It's a good point to get to. It's good when you can start thinking that way. But just don't do it with resentment. That's the problem I see, is people doing 100%. A bad job.
And it's another level too, because you're usually photographing an event, whether that means an event in a life, meaning it's a baby's photos, it's engagement photos, it's weddings, it's anniversaries, like they're events.
Yeah.
And if you do it under resent, there's no reshoots.
No, it happens one time.
Right.
If contractors or any kind of product, if you're not doing the same job you would do for someone paying, then you really need to question whether you're doing it at all.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. And I just think that we need to be able to respect our family and friends and ask them when they're doing something. You know, like for example, Sarah, who's going to come photograph our event in September, who did the Reflections of Motherhood photo shoot. We love Sarah. Now we'll put a link to her stuff on her site. And we've used a lot of professional photographers for stuff. When we get headshots done, we pay them. And the problem is, in our position of our platform, and we have good, you'd almost label us as influencers.
Almost.
And we did a shoot with Richard Johnson in Florida. I did one for new shots, one of my favorite photos I have, you know, for my headshots now. And you know, I'm like, just send me the invoice. And he's like, yeah, it's okay, man. Like, you know, you just share this.
That
yeah,
should...
and that is totally different, by the way. Yeah. It's totally different. I refused. I said, we will pay you for your time and give you the exposure. And you got to remember that when it's the other way around, too. Now, if somebody says, I would like to do this for, great. I'm willing to, there's certain events I speak at for nothing. If the Detroit Lions said, you know what, Scott, our budget's gone this year. Would you come speak to the team? The equipment managers.
This is your dream, right? Yeah. This is your dream.
Be like, I will pay you to come speak for them, right? So if that's fine. If Metallica said, Scott, can you talk to us about marketing? I'd be like, yep. No charge, boys. I'd come do it. So, but it's up to me. It's up to the service provider to do it. That's fine. We always hold a few events a year, a couple of my gigs for friends or for causes that mean something to us. But that's why you turn down the other stuff. So you have the time and the bandwidth to do those things. So that's important to remember, that it should be up to the talent to decide where they give their time and their energy for pro bono
But I think it's on the other side of that, it's also up to the talent or the entrepreneur to make that very clearly, unemotionally expressed to whoever it is that's coming. Because the sooner you tell them the truth, the better it's going to be.
Correct.
And just explain that you can only be in one place at one time and that you're working hard and you're starting a business and they should understand that and this is how it's going to be. And if they want to hire you, they can hire you. And if they don't want to hire you, then these are some dates that maybe would work where you could come and do some photography.
And it goes for everybody listening right now too. And you can be a consultant. You could be a photographer. You could be a wedding DJ. You could be like a whole bunch of stuff. You could run, you're starting up a catering company, doing sugar cookies in your own kitchen or a bakery or anything. That the ones who got you there may not be the clients that you need to go to the next spot. And it's okay to let customers go, but that makes it harder because they're friends or family. And it's just getting that wording ready before you need it. And just saying, because you honor pricing like we would honor. Like we have events now that came, we had an event come to us a few weeks ago and said, hey, we'd like to have Scott. We were supposed to have him 6 years ago and something came up and it wouldn't work. And I was giving them a discount at the time and it was for teachers and I was happy. And I'm like, I am not doing it for a tenth of my
and you have to be clear about it.
And we explained, hey, but now this is this, and I'm sorry. We're always happy to do it for a little bit off, but he can't do it for that.
One of the ways that makes it a little bit easier is having that information. You can sometimes put it on your website. I've seen some people who are speakers, particularly just because I've been looking at a lot of speaker websites this week, preparing for our event, who say like they don't speak for exposure.
Yeah, we do that.
If
we
you're
do
interested,
that.
Yeah, do we? I've never. I didn't know.
It's Scott is very flattered of any request he gets, but he does not speak for exposure or book sales.
Yeah, and it's
and that
important.
Has stopped a lot of the inquiries for free gigs.
The other thing I think is, as an issue of scale, this may also be the time to outsource somebody to speak to people for you because, you would speak for free every single day. Right? You love speaking.
We didn't have Karen, yeah.
And I think having somebody who is less connected to, who's going to take it less personally, no one likes to bargain about their own worth.
No, I just had a conversation with another speaker last night about this.
Or the worth of their product. If you have created a sugar cookie company that you're proud of, you don't want to talk about if it's only worth $1 or it's worth $10. It's like straight through the heart, So that may be the time where outsourcing a virtual assistant or an assistant or hiring somebody to do a certain amount of calls, sales calls in a week, with customers who are looking to purchase or looking to whatever services or hire you as a photographer, and then let that person do it. Because that person's going to be much better equipped to bargain and much better equipped to say no than you are. And you can set parameters and you can set rules with them that say, okay, so I'm a photographer, but, I really want to have more, let's say, baby photos in my portfolio. So if somebody calls wanting a discount, but it's for a baby shoot, that one I want you to let through. Or I'm very open to charities involving homelessness or the environment. So those ones I want you to let through. And that's something you do really well with Karen is she knows which ones to let through that filter. And then she leaves it up to you. But
and I never hear about the ones that she turned down or I didn't get. And that's good. I don't want to
really
hear
good.
About those things. Yeah. I don't want to know I've lost a gig or I won't because they only had $100 to do it.
Yeah.
I still today, 400 keynotes in this new reincarnation of my speaking career, 400 keynotes. I've been speaking on or off professionally for 20 years. I'm still not comfortable quoting price. So everybody listening right now, photographers and others, about being uncomfortable with quoting price. It's something that affects a lot, if not most people, which is why one of the reasons we have our coordinator of Awesome Karen has been with us for 12 years now is that she can quote price. And sometimes that means that person also has a vested interest in the revenue where they can, one reason to stick to price is they get a cut.
Yeah.
So if you offer somebody 10% or whatever that is of your photo package, they then are not you. So you don't have the one problem with artists, and I consider myself one as a performance artist on stage. Is that your self-worth is connected with your art. And when somebody tries to then haggle, you're haggling your self-worth.
But even with a product, like I can tell you, having sold a product that I didn't make myself, but that I designed and put my heart into, it's the same thing. Because it's your baby. No matter what you're selling, whether you're like a plumber selling, that's where you've decided to put a lot of time and a lot of energy. And so haggling over it in any way hurts. Mm-hmm. Anyone who says it's valued is less than what you set it at, mm-hmm. especially because you're always setting it feeling concerned, right? You never know where that where it's going to be. I think it's always like that, and it's hard.
It's the same thing with discounts. And I always tell people, up-and-coming speakers who are asking me for advice, they're like, you know, do you not discount? I said, I never give a discounted speaking fee until I do.
Yeah, for the particular person. You know,
like, I never do, and then I do, when I do, until I do. And whether that means, and here's a tactic you can use in photography as well as almost every service-based profession, or one where you're not scalable, is that I am more willing to give a discount the closer in time the gig is. So if you said this Friday, take the train into Toronto, and we have a tenth of your fee, and come speak for an hour,
you would go.
No problem. Yeah. No problem.
Because you're holding that day,
and if it's 6 months from now,
and it has happened where we've had events come up that have been booked way ahead, and then, you know, 3 months before, you get an incredible opportunity to speak for a company you've always wanted to speak for full fee plus travel somewhere you wanted to go.
It happened 7 years ago with AT&T, and I agreed to do something in Vancouver for next to nothing because I looked at the calendar next year and it was empty, and I'm like, okay, I just need to speak.
Right?
And then AT&T, 2 months before that event, said, hey, full fee, 2 days, Dallas, Texas, come on down. I'm like, can't.
Yeah. Because that, and you shouldn't, because the commitment to that date is more important than messing up somebody's event.
Right.
So, but it is hard, and it doesn't get easier.
Doesn't.
It really doesn't, but it is important. And I think, and in many ways, see it as a good sign. Because if you've gotten to the point in your business where you're having to turn away fans and family who want things for free, that means it's growing, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing. So look at the processes you have for dealing with customers and pricing.
Everybody else listening right now, whenever you write to your family and friends and ask them to do something for a discount or free, remember, you're the ones we're talking about right now.
Yeah, respect them. If you wouldn't ask the discount of, like, the store in the mall, then you shouldn't ask the discount of your friend who works their butt off to grow a company.
Unrelated, Wayne, we're going to have to ask for a discount. All right, folks. Shoot away. Photo your life. We'll see you all in January who's coming to that event. And if not, well, we're not going to see you. That's weird. Bye.
Bye.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.